And happy Wednesday, Sleepy Wednesday, Day After Election Wednesday. Anything goes Wednesday here on the Doug Russell Podcast. How late were you up on election night? I was up till about 5 a.m. waiting for more news about Wisconsin and obviously the rest of the nation to report the results of the presidential election. We'll jump into that in just a second. Mostly, though, we've got a Packers-Niners preview. My guy Bonte Hill from 95.7 The Game in San Francisco will join me in just a few minutes. Give you our socials straight off the bat, at Doug Russell Pod on both Instagram and Twitter. You can search for the Doug Russell Podcast on Facebook or email us at DougRussellPod@gmail.com. As of taping right now, we still don't know who the next president is going to be. It looks like, and I stress, these numbers can change, but it looks like things are tilting toward former Vice President Joe Biden. But again, that can change. We do know that Biden wins Wisconsin and probably Nevada. Then it's up to Michigan and Pennsylvania, but lots of absentee ballots. They're still being counted, so we'll see where it goes. As for the candidates themselves, early Wednesday morning, it was the former vice president who was the first to speak to a group of supporters.
I'm here to tell you tonight, we believe we're on track to win this election. It's not my place or Donald Trump's place to declare who's won this election. That's the decision of the American people. Every time I walk out of my grandpa's house up in Scranton, he'd yell, Joey, keep the faith. And my grandma, when she was alive, yelled, no, Joey, spread it. Keep the faith, guys. We're going to win this. We knew because of the unprecedented early vote and the mail-in vote, that it was going to take a while. We're going to have to be patient until the hard work of tallying the votes is finished. And it ain't over till every vote is counted. Every ballot is counted.
A couple of hours later after that, President Trump in the White House sounded a different tone.
This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election. We'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We want all voting to stop. We don't want them to find any ballots at 4 o'clock in the morning and add them to the list. Okay?
That said, you still need to count the votes, something that literally never happens on election night fully. The networks can't declare a winner. They can only project a winner. Trump strategist and former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
All of these votes have to be counted that are in now. In Pennsylvania, the argument won't even start in Pennsylvania until tomorrow or Thursday or Friday because the Pennsylvania Supreme Court extended for 3 days when you could accept ballots. Now, I understand there could be an argument on that based upon Pennsylvania law, but that argument's for later.
Again, we'll know sooner rather than later. They're still counting in Pennsylvania. They're still counting in Michigan. They're still counting, at least as I'm taping this right now. I think there's still a few votes that they're counting in Georgia as well. And obviously, politics divides us as a nation. But if there's a silver lining to this, if there's one element of politics that I think is going to unite us, it might be this. How bad has the polling been the last two presidential elections? How does anyone on either side trust the polls moving forward? They were horrible. They were wrong all over the place. They had the Graham-Harrison race in South Carolina close. It was a blowout. The McConnell-McGrath race in Kentucky was supposed to be a lot closer than it was. It was a bloodbath. If I had to guess right now, I would say that Joe Biden probably wins the presidency, but won't have the Senate to help him with an agenda. That's what I think is going to happen. But we'll see. There's still in the Senate going to be a runoff in Georgia, which I expect Kelly Loeffler to win. She's a Republican. That'll tip the balance in the Senate even further toward the GOP. But every legally cast ballot should be counted, and it might take a few days. And then that's it. Recounts almost never flip an election. But at least the minute-by-minute onslaught of ads and rallies and searching for that next poll, which, like I said a second ago, the polls have shown that they're absolutely useless. So we don't have to breathlessly do that, at least for a while. They're probably going to do that in Georgia. But again, I don't see the Democrats picking up. It's going to be a mini presidential election, I think, in Georgia. for that Senate seat, which is going to be, I would say, the most hotly contested Senate election of all time. But there's not that much time to spend that much money. But that could be $200 million that's spent in Georgia on one Senate seat in the runoff for that second seat. There was already, because of an anomaly, there were two Senate seats in Georgia that were up last night. And the way that Georgia does their elections is that you have to get at least 50% to avoid a runoff. Well, there was one of the Senate seats that did that and the other one did not. So we'll see what happens. Senator Perdue is going back to the Senate, but I suspect that Senator Loeffler will also win her election. But again, there's a long way to go before that is settled as well. All right, enough politics. Also over, along with the election, this week's Badgers game before it ever started. Call it a full-on COVID outbreak. 27 total cases, as I tape this, of COVID within the Wisconsin football program between players and staff. Athletic Director Barry Alvarez.
We had a good plan, and I was hopeful that we could corral this and be where we wanted to be. But, I was never overconfident. This virus has been way too fickle it's been inconsistent. We haven't been able to put our finger on it yet. I'm concerned with the health and safety of the guys. I there's no one wants them to be on that field any more than I do. But I'm not going to lose track of priorities. We don't leave ourselves much wiggle room right now. And we know that. Hopefully we can get this corralled and we can get back in. Back on the field and playing.
So obviously now Saturday's game against Purdue is off, but that also then calls into question what the rest of the season might look like. This was from earlier Wednesday on the nationally syndicated Dan Patrick program.
Talked to a source yesterday, and I was trying to find out a little bit more about what's going to happen with Wisconsin. I was told last week that the game against Purdue this week was going to be in serious jeopardy, and it turned out they had to cancel it. And then I said, where does Wisconsin stand? And my source said, if they can't play six games, there's a good chance with state spiking COVID cases, they shut down Camp Randall, a possible field hospital. My source goes on to say they won't have a full roster when they play Michigan, but will have both quarterbacks returning. But that's just a possibility here, given the COVID cases in Wisconsin. But my source says if they can't play six games, there's a good chance with the state spiking, they shut down Camp Randall, a possible field hospital. And then they've got Michigan coming up. They'll get their quarterbacks back, but I don't know what their roster is going to look like by the time they get to that point.
Depleted. That's where it leaves the Badgers roster, unfortunately. That from the Dan Patrick Show from earlier today. Now, a couple of things about this. Yes, I can see a scenario where the Badgers season is in jeopardy. Their next scheduled game, again, is at Michigan coming up on November 14th, now that the Purdue game on Saturday has been canceled. After that, they've got Northwestern on the road. And then in subsequent weeks, they are at home against Minnesota, hosting Indiana. And they'll finish up the season as it stands right now on December 12th against Iowa. So that leaves five games on the schedule. They've played one, so that would be six games. One other thing about Camp Randall Stadium, I don't know that I necessarily see that as a field hospital. It would be an awfully breezy, cavernous, cold field hospital for anyone who's afflicted with COVID-19. I don't know if you're going to have heated tents on the 30-yard line or what, but I don't know if that's a viable option. I would think that there are probably some other better options that are out there. But nevertheless, any way you look at it, COVID-19, which has already wreaked so much havoc on all of our lives, it's certainly wreaking havoc on the college football season as well. Who could have possibly known? Who could have possibly thought that maybe if you have college kids on a college campus, there might be outbreaks? If only someone would have. Right. We all said that. I mean, literally everybody in the world said that. And just push all chips middle of the table. Sometimes caution, while it might not be the most fun option. I love football as much as anybody. I love the Wisconsin Badgers. I love Saturday afternoons watching them play. But you don't want anybody to get sick. You don't want anyone to have major complications from COVID-19. And at some point, you got to wonder whether or not rushing everyone back on the field was the best possible solution, especially for college kids who, when you put them in a quarantine, are not going to quarantine. When you put them in a position to make poor decisions, oftentimes they make poor decisions, and I think we're seeing that, I think most specifically right now in Madison in college football, but certainly all over the college football landscape. The NFL's trading period has come and gone. The Packers did nothing. They thought they had a beat on the Texans' Will Fuller, but according to reports, Houston wanted a second rounder, and the Packers didn't want to go that high.
Goody was handling all that. My focus was solely on the San Francisco 49ers, and you know, but we were in communication, but I don't know if anything ever got that serious.
Packers coach Matt LaFleur. So this doesn't make any sense on either team's side. The Packers are in a position to win their division and go to the playoffs. The Texans are not. The Packers also desperately need another legitimate wide receiver. They needed one in the draft and they whiffed. They needed one in free agency and all they landed on was Devin Funchess, who opted out for COVID. And I didn't think that was a good pickup when he was signed in the first place. This is a guy who needed a pep talk from Cam Newton a couple of years ago just to stay motivated when he was on the Carolina Panthers. So that's a whiff. Now you're going into the teeth of your schedule with Devontae Adams and a not-yet-healthy Alan Lazard. Now, as for the Texans, they're not going anywhere at 1-6. They're coming off their bye week. They've got holes all over their roster. They need to restock around Deshaun Watson. That's it. I mean, the J.J. Watt era in Houston should be over for J.J.'s sake and for the Texans' sake. It's going to go down as one of the great tragedies, I think, of Wisconsin football, along with Joe Thomas, who was a marvelous Hall of Fame player, a generational talent, stuck on a lousy football team in Cleveland. You can say the same thing about J.J. Watt. Now, he's been to the playoffs, unlike Joe Thomas in Cleveland. There has been some success for J.J. Watt, but they've never made it to that next level. They've never done what I think the promise of having a generational three-time defensive player of the year, Hall of Fame type of talent should be able to get you to. Never to an AFC championship game, never to, obviously, then a Super Bowl. And JJ's not getting any younger. So that's the Texans. They didn't get any closer to their need to restock around their franchise quarterback on Tuesday. Let's go back to the Packers. Here's what I've seen from the rest of their receivers. Equanimee St. Brown is not an NFL wide receiver. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is way too inconsistent. Darius Shepard is just a guy. And, I don't know, Malik Taylor, I guess we'll see. He's the one that I still have some promise for. The other guys, I don't. At some point, you're going to have to cut bait with MVS. It's just, it didn't work. He got off to such a great start his rookie season, and I think that he's been living off of that for the last 2.5 seasons. Equanimee St. Brown hasn't been able to stay on the field. And when he has been able to stay on the field, he hasn't been able to hang on the football. There's not a lot of depth there. It's like the Packers are a rich guy who has a Ferrari, Devontae Adams, a Camry, that's a little bit banged up and in the shop, Alan Lazard, and three Pintos. You got to up your game if you're going to make a push to the Super Bowl while you still have this generational talent. Talked about that with J.J. Watt. I say the same thing about Aaron Rodgers. Guys that are already playing with their gold jackets on. Aaron Rodgers he will be first ballot. Same with J.J. He's already in the Hall of Fame. Like Tom Brady's already in the Hall of Fame. Not officially, but you know what I mean. As long as you've got those guys and they're still playing at a clip that is good enough to carry a team to the Super Bowl, it is upon the general manager, the guy who runs personnel, to put as much talent on, frankly, both sides of the ball, but specifically as far as Aaron Rodgers is concerned, surround him with as much talent as you possibly can on offense. And the Packers' first Ted Thompson and now Brian Gutekunst have failed to do that. Brings up another question, though, about Thursday's game. Who's even going to play in this thing? So Jamal Williams and Kamal Martin, they've been placed on the COVID-19 list. That happened on Tuesday as high-risk close contacts to A.J. Dillon, who was placed on the list on Monday after he tested positive for coronavirus following his test on Sunday morning.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate. That's why we've talked to our guys about making sure they're keeping their distance and doing everything they can so they aren't deemed a high-risk candidate, if you will, or whatever they call it, in terms of keeping space and wearing a mask and just doing everything the right way. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but it is the situation, and it's one that we're dealing with and we're going to adjust to.
Obviously, it's disappointing with AJ and Jamal not being able to go, especially Jamal, because I think, you know, his was a contact tracing issue. But yeah, Matt's done a good job of mixing the personnel up to find ways to get our guys on the field. And it's really no different. So I don't look at it as us being hamstringed. It's just kind of the nature of how 2020 has gone for us.
Quarterback Aaron Rodgers. So if Aaron Jones is still out and Jamal Williams and AJ Dillon are both out, that really only leaves Dexter Williams as your feature back.
He's done a nice job of just kind of growing up in the offense and feeling more comfortable with the checks and his responsibilities in pass blocking and route running. I'm not sure if it's because of the recent addition to his family, but, you know, it seems like he's a little more settled this year and feeling more confident. And I'm excited about him getting opportunities. He's a really good kid. He cares about it a lot. And, you know, he's going to be asked to do some things on Thursday.
Joining Williams in the offensive backfield will also be Tyler Irvin.
You know, those guys work hard and they've been a part of our system now for over a year, and they know what's the expectations and the standards are. And so, you know, it was good work for them to get the reps today, and we'll see come game time if Aaron Jones can go or not.
Here's another wrinkle. On Wednesday morning, the 49ers closed their practice facility because of wide receiver Kendrick Bourne testing positive for COVID. Also injured for the Niners, Jimmy Garoppolo, Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman, Jeff Wilson, Deebo Samuel, Jalen Hurd, George Kittle, Jordan Reed, Weston Richburg, Nick Bosa, D. Ford, Ziggy Ansah, Solomon Thomas, Richard Sherman, and Kawan Williams. The biggest loss, all-world tight end George Kittle for 8 weeks. Niners coach Kyle Shanahan.
I know it's something in his foot. It didn't show up on their x-rays, but whether on the MRIs or CT scan or something with a better resolution, it showed. It happened on that one play. You know, I think they told me 8 weeks. Kittle says two, but that's how he rolls. But, you know, that's why he'll go on IR. And, you know, if it's better than what they're saying, then I'll have a chance to come back this year. But 8 weeks is 8 weeks.
Also out, as I mentioned a moment ago, Shanahan's quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo.
People get better when they play more. And that's what I feel for Jimmy on. One, Jimmy gives us the best chance to win. He's proven that. And it's hard that he's not going to be here for, to me, probably about at least 6 weeks. Because it's harder to win without him. But regardless of that, I want Jimmy playing as much as possible, because I know when he does, he'll only get better from the experiences of it. And I think that'd be the most frustrating thing about it.
Still, back in Green Bay, Packers coach Matt LaFleur isn't taking anything for granted on either side of the ball for the 49ers, despite their injuries on offense and on defense.
They've had their fair share of adversity as well. I mean, they've lost a lot of key players, Nick Bosa, D. Ford, the list goes on and on. So Richard Sherman. So they've had their fair share, and you can throw all that stuff out the window come Thursday night. I mean, it's going to be about the guys that we have out on the field and just our ability to go out there and execute, make the necessary adjustments when they need to be made, and go play ball. Everybody in the league this year is dealing with adversity, and that's just the nature of 2020, it seems. So, you know, it's the teams that handle this the best that are typically will have the best results. And that's all we're focused on. We're focused on our preparation and how we go out and handle our business on Thursday night.
Of course, none of that will mean anything if the defense can't stop the run, no matter who the running back actually is. Kenny Clark has heard the criticism.
Guys just got to just do their job. That's just what it come down to. Guys, we all got to just buy into it, do our job, you know, be blocks and, you know, fill in and be where we're supposed to be. I mean, it's as simple as that. That's what we got to do. We got to wrap up. We got to make plays. And, you know, if somebody misses a tackle in the backfield, you know, it's good that they're taking their shot, making the running back stop their feet in the backfield behind the line of scrimmage. And 11 guys got to be, the other 10 guys got to be running to the ball and getting the guy down to help him out.
Joining me now, he covers the 49ers on their pre- and post-game show on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. He talks about them during the week as the morning man on that same station, Bonte Hill. Joining me here on the Doug Russell Podcast. Bonte, always good to talk to you. Is there anyone left for the Niners, though, to suit up? How's this game even being played?
Oh, my Lord. Dougie Fresh, it's good to be with you, man. And I saw a stat today that is just mind-boggling. Since these two teams met in the NFC Championship, the three players remaining on offense from that NFC Championship from a season ago between the Niners and Packers, Mike McGlinchey, right tackle, Lincoln Tomlinson, left guard, and Kyle Juszczyk, the fullback. That's it. Quarterback gone.
Oh, man.
Top two receivers gone. Tight end gone. New left tackle, obviously, because Joe Staley retired. A new running back in Jermichael Hasty. There's no Mostert running all over the Cheeseheads this year. That won't be happening. It is an absolute disaster. They cut Dante Pettis, which, you know, they should have cut him about a year ago. But all of a sudden, Kendrick Bourne comes up with COVID-19. He's infected. He's going to have to quarantine. I don't even know who's going to line up opposite of Brandon Ayuk. It has been an absolute disaster of the season for the 49ers. And look, there's no excuses for the injuries. No excuses at all. But, man, at some point, you just can't do anything about it. And your team on the football field is going to suffer. So, yeah, it's going to be a who's who Thursday night if they get this gameplay, Doug.
Absolutely. One of those guys at quarterback is going to be Nick Mullins. I know it was garbage time. Can you glean anything from what he was able to do this past Sunday against Seattle?
Yeah, I don't. I'm reserving my judgment because he played garbage time against the New York Jets and looked good. And look, he looked good against the Giants as well. And the Giants are playing better. But at that point, the Giants were a train wreck. So he looked bad against Philadelphia. He missed the first two throws of the game. I mean, he had Juszczyk running wide open. He could probably still be running down there at Levi's Stadium. I'm not going to take too much stock into what he did in the fourth quarter against Seattle because, look, it's natural for a team when they get up by 20-plus, as the Seahawks were. They're up 30-7. I mean, they're going to kind of coast in the fourth quarter. They're going to put your foot off the gas pedal just a little bit. You're going to ease up off that gas pedal. So, look, he made some nice throws. There's no doubt about it. He tried to stretch the football field, which was missing from Jimmy Garoppolo's game this season. We'll see the real Nick Mullins here. And look, he's going to have to do it again, like I just told you, without a Deebo Samuel, without a Kendrick Bourne. Dante Pettis is no longer here. Trent Taylor, we'll see what he has left. So we'll see the real Nick Mullins. And look, it's a great opportunity for Mullins. Without Garoppolo for the next 6 weeks, possibly the season, Mullins, who's going to be a restricted free agent, a lot of people talk them up. They're playing some big boy teams, the Packers, the Saints, the Bills, the Rams, the Cardinals, the Seahawks. List goes on and on. Mullins is going to get a chance to prove how good of a quarterback he is. Can he be a starter? Can he get starter money? Well, he's got the opportunity over the next 8 games to really prove himself. So we're going to see what type of quarterback Nick Mullins is starting this Thursday.
Now, one of the guys, obviously, that's getting starter money is Jimmy Garoppolo, injured for the next 6 weeks, I guess, at least the next 6 weeks. But let's assume that he was healthy. And I'm not saying that there would be a quarterback controversy because, again, once you get starter money, you keep starter money. But he wasn't necessarily having a great season. And I know that the 49ers are NFC champions, not on his right arm. But what does he bring to this team, statistics aside, that the 49ers are going to be missing moving forward?
I believe leadership and command at the line of scrimmage. When he got traded from New England in 2017, that was the first thing that popped out. A lot of fans and a lot of media members, a lot of people who cover the 49ers said, oh, my Lord, they have a field general. This guy is, you know, he's at the line of scrimmage. He's commanding the huddle. People are gravitating towards him, and he was elevating the games of guys like Kendrick Bourne and George Kittle. All right, he gets hurt in 2018. We see what happens in 2019. They really love this guy, Jimmy Garoppolo, the players, that is, his teammates. They really love the way he has that quick release. He will throw into tight windows, and even when he throws a pick. One thing that last year that gets glossed over with Jimmy Garoppolo, whenever he would throw a pick, Doug, like, he would bounce back and have a great drive. He would end up going 6-7, 8-9, 9-9. And he raised his game to another level once he had a big-time miscue, a big-time blunder. That was the story of 2019. He was that guy. So teammates really loved this guy. They thought he was clutch. You look at the stats from 2019. Outside of Russell Wilson and Josh Allen, he had the most fourth-quarter comebacks in the NFL. You look at his numbers, 300 yards and 4 TD passes. He had 3 games of which hadn't happened for the 49ers since Steve Young way back in 1993. Think about that. 1993, there was no DVRs. There was no internet. There was no cell phones. We wouldn't be able to do this podcast right now, Doug, back in 1993. That's how long it's been since the Niners quarterback has thrown over 300 yards and 4 TDs. So that's the type of guy he is. And look, I'm not saying he's a great quarterback. He will never be Aaron Rodgers. He'll never be Patrick Mahomes. But he did show last year that, look, when they needed him, those last nine games, which were no cupcake games outside of Atlanta, and they lost it. That was their one flat performance outside of the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 54. Jimmy played really, really well. And is it really fair? And, again, injuries are not excuses. High ankle sprain, you try to gut it back, you're missing your tight end, you're missing a running back, your top two running backs, you're missing, hell, the top three running backs. When you think about it, Tevin Coleman, Jeff Wilson Jr., Raheem Mostert, the weaponry on offense has been in and out of the lineup. You know, he's not the greatest quarterback again, but he's not the problem with the San Francisco 49ers. And I don't believe he was the problem last year in the playoffs. Like, he played his first couple playoff games. Steve Young struggled in his first couple playoff games. Ben Roethlisberger struggled in his first couple playoff games. Peyton Manning didn't win his first playoff game. Let's think about today. Lamar Jackson is 0-2 in the playoffs. He hasn't figured it out. Deshaun Watson has struggled at times in the playoffs. We saw Andrew Luck struggle in the playoffs. So everybody's looking at the Minnesota game and the fact that he threw eight times against the Green Bay Packers. You watch Aaron Rodgers every freaking Sunday. You watch every snap of Aaron Rodgers. Let me think. Let me run the football down the Packers' throat, run the clock and keep number 12 on the sideline, or let's get Jimmy Garoppolo some stats. Let him throw the ball 25 times and try to throw for 300 yards and get into a shootout with Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to choose to keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline and run the ball down the Packers' throat and run the clock and get out of here and go down to Miami for a Super Bowl appearance. I mean, it was just smart football, but the stat geeks, the fantasy football fans, they want to see a quarterback throw, and Jimmy, I don't believe, Doug, is just that guy. And I think his teammates know that, but his teammates also know he's good enough to help this team win because the record with him, as opposed to without him, it's night and day.
Yeah, I don't think he's the problem with the 49ers. I agree with you on that. I was wondering, you brought up Steve Young. I was kind of lamenting whether or not they were going to suit him up on Sunday and maybe see if he can go and Roger Craig and Jerry Rice and get some of these guys back onto the field because nobody else is healthy enough to play. What does the depth look like on this team right now moving forward with all the injuries?
It doesn't look good. And the fact is, they don't have anybody. The reason why Kevin White, who was a first-round pick with the Chicago Bears, I don't think Kevin White is anything special to write home about. Heck, he pissed me off one game against Miami. He returns a kickoff 7 yards deep into the end zone, barely gets to the 15-yard line. Like, Kevin White, what are you doing? Like, well, why is he even on the roster? But they couldn't even bring up Doug Kevin White on Sunday because it would have cost too much money. That's how cash-strapped this football team is. All the money on IR. Kittle and Garoppolo, that's $80 million on IR alone between the two of those players. Sherman's out. So, look, the secondary is getting tested due to the injuries. Now they've got some guys back, but the defensive line without D Ford and Julian Taylor all of a sudden gets cut. Ziggy Ansah's on IR. They signed him off the street. He plays a couple snaps. Boom. He's done for the year. No Bosa, obviously. Nick Bosa gone for the season, which happened in week two. There's not a lot of depth here. There's not too many more maneuvers the Niners can make here, especially with the trade deadline pass. Doug, we're going to see guys signed up. They may have to sign Jerry Rice. They may have to sign Ricky Waters. They may have to sign Guy McIntyre to play guard. They may have to sign you just to hold a clipboard, for crying out loud. They are out of bodies, man, and it's going to be a rough ride over the next 8 weeks if they can't start to get some of these guys back, like Raheem Mostert or Deebo Samuel. I mean, it is just the depth has been decimated.
What about you? You still got some ball left in you, right?
I may have a couple snaps. I mean, I'll take a game day check. You know,
yeah, 75. No doubt about that.
A game day check, Doug. You know what I'm saying? We work in radio. We don't get paid. You know, I'll go out there and blow a hand streak for the 49ers as long as the cash, as long as the check clears. You know what I'm saying?
Love it. Absolutely. I do want to ask you about Kendrick Bourne and the COVID-19 test that came back. They've closed the facility. What does that even look like right now? I mean, they're not able to go through any kind of walkthroughs or any kind of practice for tomorrow. How far does that put the 49ers behind the eight ball?
I mean, it's got to put them, you know, hopefully they organize a practice at a blacktop somewhere. Hey, you know, Brandon, hopefully Nick Mullins is texting Brandon Ayuk and he's texting Jermichael Hasty and he's texting the offensive line saying, hey, let's go meet at a local park, maybe in my garage, my backyard, and let's try to get some snaps together and orchestrate an offense here. Doug, the whole facility shut down and there's a game tomorrow. Like, there's a game Thursday night. But the NFL, they forced the Raiders to play. Raiders didn't have any offensive linemen practicing the week leading up to the Tampa Bay game, and they still got that game in. So, look, nobody's in Santa Clara right now. I actually plan on going to the game tomorrow. It was the first opportunity I got to go to a game this year. So I was planning on going just to see what the environment would be like without fans. So selfishly, I'm a little disappointed if they don't get this game played. I don't know what to do. Zoom meetings. I guess you're going to do Zoom meetings, or you're going to have meetings, positional group meetings through Zoom and with the head coaches. That's all you can do. That's all you can do because, as you mentioned, Santa Clara is shut down. So hopefully they got a lot of work in on Monday and Tuesday because it's not an ideal situation. It is not ideal for the San Francisco 49ers.
You look at the standings right now, Bonte, as we're joined by Bonte Hill from 95.7 The Game in San Francisco here on the Doug Russell Podcast. Seattle, an elite team, obviously. Arizona is much improved over last year. It's amazing what happens when you bring in, I mean, I think this is it for Larry Fitzgerald, but, you know, Bill O'Brien has to be the biggest idiot on the face of the planet for pulling off that trade and gifting Kyler Murray with an elite wide receiver. You got the Rams at 5-3. Considering all the injuries, considering where this team is right now, and the strength of the division, is the rest of the season just kind of a wash for the 49ers, in your opinion?
It feels like a wash, Doug. It really feels like that. And I thought, even if they lost to Seattle, if I would have known Kittle and Garoppolo was healthy going into this Green Bay game, I said, you know what? They can go 6-4, possibly into the bye week, and feel good about themselves with the extra playoff spot. They can beat the Rams. They can hang with the Cardinals. You know, they can hang with Seattle. It was a 13-7 game at half, but it just feels like – it does feel like the quote-unquote revenge tour, which drove me crazy before the season, that the Niners put out there. Oh, revenge tour. Who are you getting revenge on? Like, where's the revenge coming? Like, I don't get that. But, you know, it does feel like a wash. It does feel like the inevitable that they're not going to go back to the playoffs. They're not going back to the Super Bowl. And they're going to have to make some big-time decisions here. They've already made one by trading Kwon Alexander, trying to free up some money. They bring in Kiko Alonso, who's a free agent. We get that. Richard Sherman. A lot of people out here think that maybe Richard Sherman's played his last snap as a San Francisco 49er. Same thing with Jaquiski Tartt, the strong safety. The quarterback, as we talked about, Jimmy Garoppolo. They have 8 games to evaluate Nick Mullins and think, hey, what if he could be a placeholder for a quarterback we'll probably draft in the upcoming NFL draft, you know, whether it's Wilson or Trey Lance that everybody's talking about out here. It does feel like this season's going to go awry. They're going to lose a lot of football games, and they're going to have a high draft pick. That's what my gut is telling me right now, and it's a very big gut, Doug. It's a very big gut right now. There's a lot going on here, but I mean, sorry for the visual, but it does feel like this season is going to be wrecked, and they're headed to a last-place finish in the NFC West. Now, crazier things have happened, but when you look at that schedule and you look at the teams above them and you look at the quarterback position, they're just night and day better than the 49ers right now. No pass rush, no quarterback, no running game. It does feel like it's going to be a lost season.
I resemble that remark on the gut, by the way, Bonte. final thing for you. I did morning drive for about 10 years. How you liking it so far? I know it's since the last time we spoke, it's a different shift for you.
Yes. You know, I was doing middays my whole tenure at 95.7 The Game, my entire tenure. And I'm going on 4 years here at 95.7 The Game, first 2.5, 3, you know, doing middays. And, you know, it was fun waking up at 8 o'clock and getting off at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. You get to go to a game at night during the weekend, during the weekday. And this schedule at first, I was like, I don't want to do morning drives. I don't care if it's morning. I don't want to do mornings. I got to wake up at 4. But you know what? I'm starting to like it a lot because being off at 10 o'clock in the morning is pretty damn fun. You got your whole day ahead of you. You can take a quick nap and then go get a workout in. You can still watch the games and go to sleep and get you about 6 to 7 hours of sleep. And then with the baby coming, it's probably ideal that I do have this schedule. It's probably the perfect situation for me right now, considering where I am in my life. So I like it, man, Doug. I really like getting up early before everybody and setting the tone for your region. As you were setting the tone out there in Wisconsin on your morning show, I'm doing that out here in the Bay Area. So I like the schedule a lot, man. It's not as bad as I thought it would be.
And as you mentioned, you've got weird hours coming up for a while after your blessed arrival comes next month. Congratulations, by the way, for that. Congratulations on the morning show. As I told you earlier before we began the interview, good things happen to good people. I love it. You're one of the best. Thanks so much, Bonte.
Hey, Doug, anytime you need me, man, you know where to find me, man. Always good to talk football, Packers, Niners, man. Still a thing out here in the NFL. And I'm got a feeling we'll probably be talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo at some point as Warrior fans are still dreaming that the Greek Freak is coming to the Bay Area.
It's never going to die, is it? It's never going to die.
It's never going to die. It's never going to die. And I've actually died on the hill that the Warriors are not acquiring Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I don't even think it's the best fit personally with this Golden State Warriors team after Miami. It did a job on the Bucks, no doubt about it. But yes, I don't think, like I saw a report yesterday, just real quick, Doug, that somebody tweeted out the Warriors have a very intriguing package waiting for Milwaukee. It starts with Andrew Wiggins. And I literally signed out of Twitter, went on the walk, and said, I won't be going on Twitter for about 4 hours. It never stops. It will never stop until he either A, signs a long-term extension with the Milwaukee Bucks, or B, finds another team where he does sign a long-term deal.
And it is going to be interesting, of course, with the NFL salary or the NBA salary cap being what it's going to be post-COVID as well. So that'll kind of muddy the waters just a little bit. Bonte Hill, Morning Man on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. Continued great everything. Good luck with the baby coming up and continued good luck with the morning show. And I look forward to talking to you soon, probably about Giannis, but about whatever it is. It's always fun to be on with you.
Oh, Doug, anytime, man. Good luck with the podcast, man. I saw this on Twitter a few weeks ago. I was proud, and I know it's good, man. I'm seeing the interviews. I'm seeing the content. Doug, you're a good dude, man. Again, whenever you need me, you know where to find me, man, and vice versa. Glad we are continuing this relationship between the Packers and the Niners, and I have no idea what that was.
Fair enough. Sounds like something you might need to go answer, so I will let you do that. My man, you're the best. I'll talk to you soon.
You too, Doug. Take care.
All right, pal, you too. There he goes. Bonte Hill joining us from 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, Morning Man on that radio station. As well as the pregame and postgame host on the San Francisco 49ers radio network. That'll about do it for this edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. Let you know how you can get in touch with the show. As always, on Twitter and on Instagram, both at Doug Russell Pod. You can also search for the Doug Russell Podcast on Facebook and email the show at DougRussellPod@gmail.com. That'll do it for this edition of the show. Assuming there is a game on Thursday night between the Packers and the 49ers, we'll have a full recap. Also have some fun for you on Friday's show as well. We'll see you then.